Hey guys, Mike Glover, Wolf21. I want to talk to you guys today about our mission statement, which is to provide natural supplementation and improve your health and well-being. Everything from CBD and CBN in combo to get a good night's rest, to RUCKUP for first responders who can't have anything with THC in it. We're always trying to innovate to provide natural supplementation, and that's our mission. We want to do what nobody else is doing and provide a full spectrum of options from Wolf21. So go check it out. The link's down below, and I appreciate your business and appreciate your time. Thanks, guys. Hey guys, are you thinking about getting a new truck cover? You should be considering Diamondback Automotive Accessories. Got Diamondback covers is the truck covers that Fieldcraft Survival uses in all of our builds and open truck bed setups. Their 270, 180 can safely carry a dynamic load of 400 pounds, and the HD can safely carry a dynamic load of 1,600 pounds. In fact, I just got done talking to my marketing guy, and it looks like we're going to build a Ford Ranger Raptor with a new Diamondback cover setup. You guys can go to diamondbackcovers.com. And on top of it all, if you're thinking about security, please don't put a tarp on the back of your truck bed. Use something that has the security and allows you to lock up all your belongings with the low bearing capacity on top. That's what makes Diamondback covers the best. It's made in the U.S., ultra durable, theft protected, weather protected, and world-class customer service. Check them out at diamondbackcovers.com. Hey guys, hot salt from firecracker.farm. Now you guys have seen me use this. I've used this and I'm a big believer in one, getting your electrolytes through any means necessary. Most of you are deficient in salt in the first place. So yeah, there's a health and wellness benefit, but it also makes everything taste better. I use it on my eggs. I use it in my coffee. I use it when I'm camping, when I'm hunting. In the backcountry, it's great because I could just sprinkle it on my food on the go. And it's really neat, man. I mean, this is a high quality piece of equipment and it's pushing out flavor to the max. If you use Mike Force right now, you could save 15% at firecracker.farm. That's Mike Force, one word, compressed together. Mike Force, one word, compressed together. That's 15% off at firecracker.farm.
Hey guys, welcome to the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. I am your host for this episode. My name is Kevin Estella. I am recording this podcast from the North Carolina office right now, just doing a whole bunch of prep work for courses that are coming up. I got a 2-day land navigation class in just 2 days. So by the time that you guys hear this, we will find out if the 9 students who I currently have were able to find the lost children in the woods of Hobo Forge Survival, because Jason Smith is hosting the day 2 practical field side. But if you guys are also listening to this, you're probably wanting some answers, because this is Coffee and Questions number 12. And I've got my computer here. I've got all of these questions that are lined up, and you guys really came through this time. I thought it was going to be a smaller number of questions. I thought we're going to have fewer interesting questions that were going to come up, because I had to actually put it out twice on Instagram. And I was like, guys, I just need 10 more questions. Well, next thing you know, I get close to 50. So I'm going to try to keep this short. I value your time and hopefully you guys value this. So I'm not going to go on and on and on with a whole bunch of answers, but if you guys want a more elaborate explanation, just email me, Estella@fieldcraftsurvival.com. And of course, guys, I'm going to give a big shout out before I get started here to all of the followers on Instagram who are following me regardless of Instagram censorship. With 36,000 followers, my stories go out to about 200, maybe 4 or 5 if I'm lucky. And there are a bunch of you that are super faithful. So I encourage all you guys, if you are following me, if you want to learn more, real skills, no BS, very straight to the point, always leading with the truth, then please closely follow on Instagram, closely follow on Twitter. It's at Estella Wild Ed. And obviously come out to classes and train with me. All right, guys, I'm going to go through these 50-something questions. I'll do my damnedest to keep some of these things brief. Coffee and Questions is the name. This is the 12th one. I can't believe it. I've been doing this now for a couple of years. And I'm not drinking coffee today, but I do have an orange Monster. So this is not brought to you by coffee this time. Maybe that's a I don't know, something bad. Maybe it's a good thing. We'll find out. Maybe I'll be hypercaffeinated. So here we go. All right. First question. How do you sharpen MagnaCut? I got a MKC Fieldcraft knife. The easy answer with that one is use diamond stones. MagnaCut is the greatest steel right now. And I'm normally not a steel snob. I still love using my original A2 Polaris knife and a bunch of Bark River knives and A2 and Chris Reeve knives were originally A2. And I'm totally fine using S30V or S35EN, S45EN. Like I can be snobby sometimes, not always. But I will say that MagnaCut is the latest and greatest. Benchmade Knives is actually making all of their water knives, their dive knives, their fishing knives out of MagnaCut, super corrosion resistant. That said, it is a very strong steel, super tough. You're going to be able to sharpen it better with a diamond stone. So get yourself like a Falneven DC4 if you want to do it at home. The DC3 packs a little bit easier. You can also get a Spyderco triangular sharp maker, and that thing puts a pretty good edge on MagnaCut as well. All right, second question here. Newbie here, starter hunting rifle for East Coast deer. Okay, so East Coast deer, what are we talking about for the effective range? On the East Coast, maybe 100 yards. I mean, that's a stretch. Here in North Carolina, I shot two last year in December. I don't think I went past 65, 70 yards with them. So you don't need to get a rifle that has ridiculous reach. A lot of people on the East Coast have hunted deer with 30-30s for quite some time. 308 makes a great hunting rifle. 6.5 Creedmoor, even though it's got the capability of that reach, it's totally fine up close. I shot a couple deer out in Wyoming, one at about 120 yards, one at about 300 yards. Both of them drop no problem. Everything I've shot with 6.5 Creedmoor goes down. It's all about shot placement. So particular rifles, Tika, get a Tika T3. Tika makes a great rifle. I would advise against Remington at this point because Remington rifles are not awesome. The quality has gone way, way down. The other one I would recommend, if you guys want to support a friend of ours, get a SIG Cross. The benefit of the SIG Cross, you can pack that rifle in your backpack and have the stock folded, climb up that tree stand on the East Coast, open up that stock. When you get up into your tree stand, it just makes it so much easier than, you know, having to, you know, carry a rifle that's slung across your back and it's fully extended and it's like 46 inches long. So I'd recommend a T3 from Tika. I'd recommend a SIG Cross. Savage makes some great rifles. Marlin makes some good East Coast rifles, but get something that's meant for up close. Okay. How should I store my guns at home? I have a newborn. Okay. If you have a newborn, they're in a crib. You can change the way that you store your guns with the age of your child. If you have a child who's a newborn who can't pick up a bottle on their own, don't worry about them picking up a firearm. You can carry, you can store your guns in like a fast box. My friends at Secure It make a great product. They've got a fast box that's actually, it has like different mounting brackets and you can mount the brackets everywhere. So if you're like the type of person who wants to keep the thing locked no matter what, like you go into your kitchen, you can take it from your bedroom off the mounting brackets and put it in the kitchen. Here's what I'll say about any type of firearm that's stored in a box. It's going to slow you down. It is not as fast as having a firearm on you in the home. So I would say if you're going to store a gun at home with a child, keep it on your belt. If you do have to put it in a box, realize that boxes do slow you down. I did some training recently in West Virginia with firearms stored off body, like underneath a bed in a fast box. And we had one guy who put in the access code incorrectly twice, and he still was under 10 seconds. So you hear that bump in your back door, you can still access it. And I'll say this about biometric stuff. Biometric is only meant for convenience. It's not meant for actual safety. I'm not going to recommend that you guys use biometrics because you have bloody hands, you have greasy hands, batteries go down. Always have a key backup. I don't know. I think I'm rambling on that one. I got like 47 more questions to go. But bottom line, change the way that you store your guns at home based on the age of your kid, based on your needs and what you're comfortable with. Okay. Next question. Light setup on Beretta 1301 TAC. I have a Beretta 1301. I have my light set up on an Arisaka mount on it. I'm sorry, that's on my Beretta Patrol. On my 1301, I have a Magpul Zhukov forend on it. And on that Zhukov forend, you have the ability to mount to the M-lock. I broke one of the M-lock by mounting it too far forward, and it hit that little separating wall between the two M-lock panels. What was the company? Aridus Industries replaced it for me, but I had to ship it out there. If you get a Nordic Components magazine tube, it comes with a metal M-lock that goes on the front of the barrel and the magazine tube. That's a very secure place to mount it. And as far as the light setup, you've got a lot of good lights that are out there. You've got Streamlight, you got Cloud Defense, you got Surefire. I have a Surefire Scout, and I've got a pressure pad on there. And that pressure pad is designed for my left thumb to activate it. So Surefire, Scout Light, pressure pad. There you go. All right, man, this monster is kicking my butt. All right, next question. Do you miss the New England winters now being in North Carolina? Yes and no. Like, I am a four season guy. I like the New England winters. I grew up skiing. I mean, grew up in my teenage years and in my 20s skiing. But I grew up doing a lot of different things in the cold. And I like the change of the seasons. So I do miss it, but I don't miss shoveling. I don't miss using a snow thrower. I don't miss idiots driving around with snow on top of their cars that are going to break your windshield when they fly off. I don't miss that aspect, but I do miss winter survival training. I do miss all that. So yeah, I guess I miss some of it, not all of it. No questions. Just keep the leadership post coming. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll keep doing that. I've been getting in the habit of posting up some leadership ideas every once in a while. People have really liked it. They're like, man, I got to tell my boss about that. And I'm like, well, you should probably tell your leader about that. There's a difference between a boss and a leader. And if you guys just follow the social media, you see what I'm talking about. Yo, heard the NC office is closing. True? I can't say. I will say that I'm the last person here. And not a lot of things get sent here for the store. We're still running classes here. We're still hosting a bunch of different people. I know Kate Smith, who does her edible plants, she has 15 people coming in for that course. I've got 9 for the land navigation class. I'm selling out classes on the East Coast. I'm getting good numbers. Can't say if it's closing. But I'll just say that I wish I had more support. All right, next question. Can we drink bourbon together? Yeah, as long as you guys are providing. I like bourbon more than whiskey. Maybe it's a sweet tooth of mine. Favorite movie, car, truck, etc. Okay, favorite movie. That's going to be a tie probably between The Dark Knight and First Blood, with First Blood most likely surpassing it. Favorite truck? Well, I mean, I love my 4Runner. If you guys watch the 4Runner high mileage overview, you'll see why. I've had that car for 184,000 miles. Love it to death. But if I had to have my own truck, pickup truck, favorite pickup truck of all time, might be from The Fall Guy. Just going to throw that out there. That or maybe Jed's truck from Red Dawn. And I don't know what the et cetera is. Okay. Let's see. Okay. What are daily news sources for preparedness that you check daily? BBC News in a Minute is what I used to have my students at the high school check every morning because it's 1 minute world news. That was British Broadcasting Channel. I go on the computer more to check the news than I watch actual news. I feel like cable news can suck you right in and keep you for a long time. So I just want to get my news quickly. Believe it or not, I still check out the Bristol Press, which is the newspaper from my hometown, childhood home. I like seeing what's happening there. But I usually check the major news channels, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. If you keep hearing the same story over and over on multiple networks, regardless of where they fall on the political spectrum, then you're going to most likely find the truth. Okay. When being chased by a meth gator, what's the best water purifying system? All right, this one comes from a former student from one of the classes that I did recently at Soranex. I taught land nav down there. I taught survival. And we were joking around how the cocaine bear, that is a real thing that happened, definitely blown out of proportion by TV and movies. But we were like, man, what would it be down here in South Carolina? And we're like, well, the surrounding area is pretty bad with meth and guys doing shakes and shake and bakes. And we're like, but there's gators down here. So we're like, meth gator. So what would be the best water purifying system if being chased by a meth gator? I would probably say the Grail. And the reason I'm going to go with the Grail is you got to scoop the water and then you just got to press it. So you could probably run far from the edge of the water and press it quickly. It takes about 10 seconds to treat 18 or 24 ounces of water. So I'm going to go with the Grail. Okay. In what order should one procure their silky saws? Pocket, Gomboy, Katana, etc. I'm going to say go with the middle first. So the Pocket Boy, I think, has like a 5 or 6 inch blade. The Gomboy, it's like 7 or 8. The Katana Boy is ridiculous. I keep one in the back of my car. Go with the middle first because you can use it in your vehicle. You can use it in your backpack. Eventually, I would say get the Pocket Boy because it's an inexpensive buy, and then save up for a Katana Boy for your car. So I'm going to go middle size, small, large. Okay. All right. I've seen a couple questions here about duty guns. Guys, I'm not a cop. I'm not military, law enforcement, anything like that. So I can't tell you what makes sense for duty guns, and I'm definitely not going to blow smoke up your butt. It says here, Apex trigger or leave OEM, FN 509, to be specific. Thanks. I don't know what your department is going to allow you to do to your duty firearm. I have a funny feeling that they will say no modifications. And I will also say that when I have seen firearms that have been modified to accept components that are not OEM, they tend to fail. Having shot at Sig Sauer Academy, having shot at the Glock Academy, I've seen people put in all sorts of different aftermarket triggers. And when they don't work, the armorers at those academies pop in OEM parts and the gun runs just fine. So I would say, I don't know what your department policy is, but from personal experience, seeing firearms that have been modified, leave it OEM. Okay. How's that new range bag in Vietnam camo? Okay. So that's the new Gritter range bag. I was sent one. I have a range bag that I use from Kafaru. Mine is just sitting here in the office, and you know, I looked at it. It's pretty awesome. Like, there's separate pouches in it for like a pullout ammo tray. And there's some pouches that fold down on the side, like where you can lay your pistol on top of it. So you don't have to just like rest it on the bench. It's well made. It's in tiger stripe and it's got a, you know, Fieldcraft crest on it. So I haven't used mine a whole bunch, to tell you the truth. I used it for the video and I've got it here, and I'll maybe load it up for some stuff that we do at the next shotgun class, but it's done well. You should check it out. Favorite everyday carry folding knife. Well, everyday carry folding knife, even though I go back and forth with like the Benchmade Adamus as like single blade, badass knife, my Chris Reeves Sebenza, great blade. The folding knife that I've been carrying on me the longest is a Swiss Army knife, and it's the Swiss Army Ranger, Victorinox Swiss Army Ranger. So it's going to be that one. 2024 election predictions. It's going to be a proverbial shit show. Guys, we know that Biden is the tentative candidate on the Democratic side. Trump is the presidential candidate on the Republican side, tentative. And regardless who wins, we know the nation is not going to be happy. We're a very polarized nation. So my prediction is, I don't know who will win. I know who I want to win, but I'm not going to talk, you know, religion or politics in this particular podcast. I'll just say that you're going to have about half the nation that's not going to be happy. And if we look at history as our guide, we should probably prepare and have some supplies. We should probably get that network of people, you know, on standby just in case bad things happen. But we can't live in fear. We're not fear mongers. At the end of the day, you might not like the person who's elected, but you've got to respect the office. I always think back to that line in Band of Brothers when Captain Winters is like, you salute the rank, not the man. And I think that's the case, right? Like at the end of the day, guys, we need this nation to keep moving forward. You don't have to like the person, but you know, we don't want to shoot the pilot who's flying the plane. Okay. How is your 2024? What trips do you have planned? So far 2024, I mean, it's March 13th when I'm recording this. 2024 has been pretty wild. If I look at my calendar here for a hot second, let's go back. January, land navigation, first week of January. I took the basic pistol class with Rick Lofton on the 13th. I was out teaching in Colorado on the 20th. I was in Florida with my girlfriend the following weekend. I was teaching shotgun on February 3rd. Gossman Knives in Maryland on the 10th. Hunt Expo, where I got a nasty chest cold. That was the following weekend. After that, Modern Survival Skills down in South Carolina. So it's been I've had very little free time to myself. But that being said, that's what I signed up for. So 2024 is going really, really well. I'm settling into the house that I purchased on at the end of November. And things are good. Things are really, really good. Let's get back to these questions. Okay. All right. Besides your book, if you could only have one, I really like Out on the Land by Ray Mears. That's a fantastic coffee table book. if we're talking old school skills, I like Ellsworth Yeager, Wildwood Wisdom. You can't go wrong with the Army Survival Guide. You can't go wrong with Six Ways In, 12 Ways Out. Can't go wrong with Edible and Medicinal Plant Books by Peterson's. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, if we want another survival book, I mean, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that are super, super useful with both photos or illustrations and, you know, with plenty of text. Mountaineering, Freedom of the Hills, awesome book. So that's the beauty. We don't have to have just one. Have a library. Okay, grind matter, Scandi or flat? Again, it all depends. Scandinavian grinds are called short flat grinds. And a Scandinavian grind is really going to act like a wood plane. I find that Scandinavian grinds are really easy to sharpen. They are extremely easy to get a beautiful edge on, and they work really, really well for wood. But they'll also work on processing animals. I have an Orford Trapper Model E, and the E designates that it was to my specs, 4-inch blade and 4.5-inch handle, so to speak. I've used that animal. Hold on. Monster. I've used that knife processing fish, venison, and it's got a Scandi grind. Now, flat grinds are awesome too. Flat grinds go all the way from the edge to the spine. Very easy to maintain. So I think it's personal preference. I'm not going to say one is better than another, but they both work really, really well. Okay, next question. What company exists today that can replace the areas that On Point Tactical used to cover? I would say take a look at Nature Reliance School. Craig Caudill is a great, great friend. Nature Reliance School is in Kentucky. Craig Caudill is a legit tracker. I mean, the dude's even appearing now on America's Most Wanted, not as someone who is wanted, but as someone who is a subject matter expert for finding people, because again, he's a tracker. So I would say check them out. Have you tried the Prometheus Design Works TI SAC scales with glow in the dark dot? No, I haven't. Guys, I write for Prometheus Design Works, PDW, Danger Ranger Bear. I'm wearing PDW shorts right now. I've been sponsored by them for quite some time. I won't blindly recommend something if I haven't used it. I'll say that I have a bunch of other titanium stuff from PDW and it's great, but I've never tried the SAC scales. So no, I haven't tried them. That said, they probably are nice, but I'm not going to BS you guys. I have never used them. So you'll have to find out and let me know. Preferred 9mm carry ammo. I really like Hornady. XTP rounds. I have 124 grains loaded right now in my Glock 19. So my preferred are Hornady XTP. And that's how I roll. Tips for camping in national parks / national forests. Okay. If you're camping in national parks, national forests, first thing I'll say is get away from the crowds. Get away from the beaten path. Get away from people who are going to stumble into your camp and they are going to disrupt your peace of mind and your, you know, sanctity of your campsite. The other thing I'll say is don't forget that you're carrying a firearm. If you go into any buildings, you are not allowed to carry any firearms into buildings that are maintained by the National Park Service. So have a way of storing that. Don't walk into those buildings unless you want to break the law. Do not do that. Tips for camping. Talk to the rangers. The rangers are usually really, really good people and they will give you the best advice. Please make sure if you did not heed my warning for the first bit of advice, breaking away from the crowd, that you put all of your food in the bear safe containers and just be bear aware because some of the national parks have populations of bear. Don't be the idiot that decides to walk up to the bear 10 feet away and take photos. Give them a pretty wide berth. And the other thing I'll say for camping in national parks and national forests, enjoy it. Get off your phone. Use an actual camera so you're not tempted to find service on your phone. Put it out of mind and out of sight and you won't reach for it. Okay, favorite one pot camp meals. Okay, here's one that I've been playing with lately and I absolutely love it. So I'm Asian, right? Half Filipino, half Polish, and I love fishing. I find that one of my favorite one pot meals, it's best done with like a non-stick pot, but if you have enough oil, you're okay. And as long as you don't burn the bottom of your pot, you get some sesame oil, you put it in the bottom of your pot and you get your salmon or your whatever fish that you're catching and you score the fish. So you make like little half inch cubes and then you fillet it or not, you know, fillet, you skin it. So you score the meat and then you skin it. So now you have these little diced cubes of a fish. You put that in there, you cook that. Then what you do is you put that off to the side. You bring water to a boil. Okay, so You bring the water to a boil and you do minute rice, or not minute rice, 8 minute like boil in the bag rice. You put that to the side. Then you do the fish. That rice is still going to be cooked by the time that you're done with the fish because the fish won't take that long. Then you combine all that together. So it's rice, then rice and fish in the same pot. After that, you pour sesame seeds on the top, get an avocado, dice that thing up there, throw that in there, and then hit it with some sriracha. Wow. That's my jam. So fish, rice, avocado, all in one pot. I screwed up the order. I feel like I need to drink, but I'm not going to because my heart is pounding right now. Okay, next one. Do you have any plans to come and visit the Ozarks? At this point, no. And the reason being is Fieldcraft is really limited the amount of travel that we're doing. I got a request to come back to Colorado and I was told I can't go back to Colorado because we are just hemorrhaging money when it comes to traveling instructors. You think about it, when it comes to training, we have to bring an instructor, so they have to jump on a plane. They have to pay luggage, so there's probably $600. They have to get a hotel, rental car, all that stuff. Then we have to pay a range fee or, you know, facility fee or whatever. So we're already anywhere between $1,000 and $1,500 in the hole before the course starts turning a profit. That being said, out here on the East Coast, it's a little bit different because everyone comes to me. I mean, I'm surrounded by 35 million people here in North Carolina, and it's a little bit easier to manage that. So I'm staying here in North Carolina. I'm not traveling as much. If you guys want to train, come out and train with me. Just want to give a quick shout out to the Sig Sauer Academy and Sig Sauer. They're one of our sponsors here at the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. And Sig is one of those awesome companies that I've really enjoyed working with over the years. Even before I joined the ranks of the Fieldcraft Survival crew, I was going up to the Sig Sauer Academy back in 2015 and training up there. Guys, if you can't train with us at one of our locations, go up to New Hampshire, go meet the folks from the Sig Sauer Academy and train with them up there. There's a lot to do in the live free or die state. And I'll tell you, you can make a weekend out of it. So you show up the night before, you do your thing, go out to dinner, take the wife or the husband, whatever you got. And the next morning, go out, get a good breakfast, train, go to the experience center, get a good meal at Goody Cole's, go stay at the Exeter Inn, great place, and just really just enjoy that area. New Hampshire is one of the greatest states to train in, super friendly people, and I think you're really going to enjoy training at the SIG Academy. I've been there probably 24 times in my lifetime, and I've done everything from the pistol classes to the carbine classes, the defensive shotgun courses, and the precision rifle courses. Probably the most fun you're going to have there is bullets on vehicles, where you do a lot of ballistic training through glass and into vehicles. And probably one of the most important classes you will ever take is the 3-day precision rifle class, because it will make you a better shooter across every platform. Not to mention you get a chance to shoot out to 1,000 yards. SIG is really, really raising the bar, you can say that. With the experience center, I mean, they've got a museum there, they have an indoor shooting range. The pro shop is a place where you can spend a lot of money, so just be real careful. And while you're up there, look for, you know, some of my good buddies that are up there in the instructor cadre. If you see Cav, tell him that you got Cadbury eggs, and I'm sure he'll do all sorts of things for you, helping you out with, you know, your skill set on the range and all. So guys, please check out SIGSauer.com. And please check out the SIG Sauer Academy. And by the way, that is how it's pronounced, SIG Sauer. It's not SIG Sauer. And I think you're going to have a great time. All right, here we go. More questions. How many nocturnal animals would you have to see during the daytime to be concerned? I mean, if we're talking like raccoons, I mean, raccoons typically don't like coming out during the daytime. If you see one during the daytime, it's most likely rabid. How many would I have to see during the daytime to be concerned? I mean, question I have is concerned about what? Like animals are going to start attacking us, that type of thing? I don't know. But if I saw more than one species hanging out together, maybe doing some lines of blow or something, and, you know, strapping on weapons like the epic load up scene in Commando, I'd probably be worried if it was two animals doing that. What was the most valuable thing you got out of training at Gunsight? So guys, I've been to Gunsight 3 times. I was at Gunsight 250 pistol in 2020. I was at Gunsight 270 rifle in 2021. And I was at the gas shoot, the Gunsight alumni shoot in 2022. The most valuable thing I got out of training at Gunsight, open mind. I'm going to say open mind. So here's a quick story with that. Prior to Gunsight, a lot of my training was at the SIG Academy. A lot of my training was with the DeFort Performance Shooting, Bill Rapier, AMTAC Training, SIOC Tactical Group, Stretz Tactical, you name it. Now, a lot of those training facilities have, or training trainers have, common lineage with SIOC. Well, at Gunsight, you know, I won't say exactly what I was doing, but it was after a course of fire. Instead of lowering the muzzle of my pistol, looking at my left target, looking at my right target, doing a very specific scan, I brought my pistol to a different ready position. And my instructor, Eric Elhouse, was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm doing this." He goes, "Why?" I'm like, "Well, I learned it from Batata." And he goes, "Do you mind just for the course, just doing it the way we're showing you? No disrespect to your guys, but, you know, we're just showing one way, not the way." And I was like, "Absolutely. I'll do whatever you like." And that was something that was really important. He showed respect for previous training, but he also framed it in a way that has always been so important to me. It's like, I can show you how to start a fire 5 different ways. I'm not going to tell you there's only one way. I'll tell you, find the way that works for you. So I think the most valuable thing I got out of training from Gunsight was keep an open mind, which in this day and age on the internet, with everyone that's attacking everyone in the tactical space and the shooting world and everything like that, it's like, look, it might work for them. It's not going to work for you. You don't have to do everything alike. So I think maybe that. But then again, one of the things that we did at Gunsight during that 250 pistol was low light shooting. We shot, you know, Harry's, Neck Index, FBI Extended, you know, all that stuff. So the night shooting was really fun. And the other thing, 270 rifle. Oh, here we go. Actually, this is the most valuable thing. Make sure that you are properly torquing your optics. I carry a Fix-It Sticks kit with me everywhere now because at Gunsight, I missed out on my E-ticket on the 270 rifle because I had a equipment malfunction. My rifle optic was loose, and as a result, I could not get a good grouping when we shot the student drills, and I had to go to the gunsmithy, and you had to tighten it down to spec. So I would say make sure your kit is squared away before every single day. Make sure your stuff is marked. Probably that. All right, long-winded answer to a question I was hoping that would be short. You think night vision and thermal tech useful in survival if batteries, spare parts, and repair tools are, and the question cuts off. Listen, there is definitely a place for night vision and thermal. I would say that they're superpowers. They give you the ability to do something that someone else can't do. But I will also say that people are looking for that incredible capability first, as opposed to handling basic capability before that. So what I mean by that is, if you are worried about night vision and thermal and this and that, but you don't have your health in order, then I would say get your health in order. You won't be able to enjoy the night vision and thermal if you don't have your health in order. I would also say that if you are planning on bugging out with the rifle that you probably shouldn't walk through the streets with in a crowded area, you may want to get a pistol before you get another accessory for that rifle. So I would say make sure that your whatever you are prepping follows a logical order and have all of your grounds covered. You know, I'm just going to ask about the Winkler again. Yeah, so I just messaged Dan Winkler. I am going to be selling all those Winkler knives myself. So I'm just going to do a flat rate box insured for a certain amount, and I'll accept the payment through whatever. I'm not sure if I'll do Venmo or whatever, but I'll be having those hopefully very soon. And the first run will be 50 knives. I'm going to hold on to the first one, and the second one I'll use. So I'll probably have 48, maybe I'll have 52 knives. I don't know, but those knives are going to be sold exclusively through me. They're going to be called the Mentor, and they are coming. All right. I love the Even K hitch for hanging game bags during hunting. Is there a better knot for that? Even K hitch is not a bad way of tying a game bag, but so is a rolling hitch with two half hitches. Whatever you decide to use for tying, make sure it's easily untied. Make sure that you are tying a very specific knot. Now, the other thing that you can do other than the rolling hitch and the half hitch is you can create a simple, what's it called? A lark's head, right? You can just pass it through. You can also, let's see, what could you use? I mean, it all depends on what you're tying off to. Are we talking like a horizontal tree? Are we talking about a standing tree? I mean, I'm going to just go with it. I'm going to say rolling hitch, two half hitches. Yeah, let's just go with that. All right. How to schedule our training between all fields needed, med, survival, firearms, etc. Okay, so if you're talking about like how do you figure out which one to do first, I would say think about which one is going to most likely affect you. I know in the past week I've had to put bandages on people, and I've had to put bandages on a lot of people. I've had to put bandages on myself. Med is a very important class to take. It's not the most exciting class. It gets pretty damn boring, not gonna lie. But it is one of the most important classes you are going to take. I've been trying to level up my own med training. I've got a request in for a few weeks now. I'm waiting to hear back from Utah. Hopefully I'll be able to go out and level up my med, but we'll see what they say. Not sure. So I would say get med training. Once you get your med training, I would say get your basic stay alive skills, because I would rather you run and hide from a fight than have to engage in a fight and then, you know, have to deal with the legal consequences. So no shame in running away. But that being said, you guys can decide if you want to get a pistol, get a rifle, and then get survival training, or survival training and a pistol and rifle or a shotgun. So I would say look at what is most possible and probable, most likely, and go with that. Did you see the bear attack scene in The Revenant? Yeah, I did see the bear attack scene in The Revenant. When you see the behind the scenes of the blue screen and the actors that were involved, how they like pulled Leo DiCaprio around, it's pretty cool. I will tell you that that movie is not historically accurate. If you guys actually read the account of Hugh Glass, you're going to find out it wasn't in the middle of winter. And he did do some pretty wild stuff. Like he did let maggots eat dead skin out of his back, but read the actual history. The movie's cool. Cinematography is gorgeous in the movie, but not historically accurate. How many litter boxes are in your home? And does your girlfriend know you own cats? All right. So as a follow-up, and I think I talked about this on the last Coffee and Questions, I had a family of four cats that was at my back door around the holidays. Well, two of those cats ended up getting adopted. They were more friendly than the other two. And there was the mom. There was this other cat we called Leo. Then there was Randolph, short for, we called him Randy. And then there was George, who now, we now think is a chick. Not saying that chick can't have the name George, but it probably should be Georgia. So now I've got Randolph and I've got George in my back door, and Randolph is coming in the house. He's hanging out. He's sitting up on my recliner and, you know, watching me as I, you know, write my articles and stuff like that. She totally knows about the cats. She thinks I'm a softie. Listen, I can be a hunter and an animal lover. Never thought I was going to be a cat person. I've always been a dog guy. But these cats are pretty cool and I do enjoy playing with them. No litter boxes in the house, by the way. RMR worth the price over a Holosun 507C for a duty pistol. Again, here's another duty pistol question. Not a cop, not military. I have a 509T on my Glock 17. I have a Steiner MPS on my Glock 19. And I have the RMR, I think it's called the CC, on my Glock 48. All of them are great red dot sights for a pistol, but I'm a big fan of the closed emitter over an open emitter. And the reason being is it's very easy to wipe off, to clean. I love Holosun. People are saying that they're Chinese optics. I get it. They still work fantastic. Take a look at a lot of the products in your house and let's get rid of everything from China and see how long we last. Guys, we don't necessarily have to agree with the Chinese politics to appreciate some of the stuff that's coming out of China. But I'll say that, look, I don't agree with the politics. I like the Holosuns. It is what it is. What was the most dangerous experience you've had in the woods? I wish I could tell you guys that it was like a bear encounter. And I mean, I did have a fun one up in Alaska in 2016 where we were pursuing a grizzly bear, but that wasn't necessarily dangerous. I think one of the more dangerous things that I've seen in the woods, when I was 20 or 21, I helped pull a guy off the river who had an appendix rupture, so appendicitis. And that was very, very interesting. I've seen people go borderline hypothermic. In fact, one of the first classes that I ever ran under my own banner when I was running my company in Connecticut, I had a couple friends miss the pullout on a canoe trip, and they went down through a class 3 rapid in an open canoe, ended up dumping, and ended up on two sides of the river, and they needed to start a fire, run for help and all that. 911 got called. So I almost lost two of my friends right there. I'm sure I've got others, but those I think were two of the ones that really stand out, the appendicitis and the friends dumping the canoe. What would it take to marry you? Ask my girlfriend. Kevin, pistol you'd backpack with in White Mountains regularly, carry method. I'm going to say get yourself a Black Point Tactical chest rig and wear it over your t-shirt and underneath a jacket. It'll blend right in with a backpack. Either that, or if you can find the old school Kafaru tombstone, the tombstone fits on your pack waist belt and it covers your pistol. It'll hold a Glock 19, no problem. What pistol would I pack in the White Mountains? I've seen moose up in the White Mountains. I've seen the sign of bear up there, but I've never encountered a bear. I'll tell you that you probably want a 10 mil. But when I go up to the whites, I'll carry a 9mm because I'm not planning on shooting anything. I'm planning on making a lot of noise. And that being said, you never know. So if I had to choose a pistol, I'm going to say get yourself a Glock. I am a Glock guy through and through. So yeah, I'd probably say get a 9mm or a 10mm. What do you think about the 357 revolver, Taurus to be exact? 357 is awesome. I own two 357s. I have got my late mentor Marty's Model 60, which is a five-shot J-frame, and I have a Colt Python, which is a six-shot, 4.25-inch barrel. You can shoot 38 Special. You can shoot 357 out of it. Taurus, hit or miss. Taurus makes some pretty good stuff. I know Jerry has a Taurus 357 that he really likes. So I think it's a great survival cartridge, and you're not underground with it. You could probably carry that 357 up in the White Mountains too, by the way. Of all the knots, what are a few of the most useful to master? What are the must know? Learn the paracord bootlace knot, which is sometimes called the Ian's knot or the Scottish bow knot. That bootlace knot requires an overhand knot and then basically a square knot with your laces. You'll use it every single day. I would definitely know the rolling hitch and half hitch. I would know the trucker's hitch. I would know the prussic knot. I mean, God, there's so many that go into this list. I would know the bowline. I would know the double overhand. I would know the figure of eight. I would recommend you guys get the Mountaineering Freedom of the Hills book, the Marlin Spike handbook. I'd recommend you guys check out animatedknots.com. You'll find a whole bunch of knots there. And I think there's even a section that says like knots for boating, knots for camping, knots for whatever. Okay. This one is from my girlfriend. Have you learned anything interesting about yourself and your new cat family? Well, I will say that I do look forward to seeing those cats first thing in the morning. And I do look forward to them at night. I do know that there is like a cat mafia or something in my backyard with like the new development that I live in. There's a whole bunch of like big old tomcats and some other strays. And, you know, the cats that I've been taking care of are always like nervous when the other ones are around. So there's probably some like cat gang warfare going on in the backyard. So what have I learned about myself and the new cat family is that if I can change, you can change. We all can change. Rocky said that. Okay, so the next few questions come from Twitter. I don't see a lot of discussion on the mental health aspect of preparedness from a why prepare, dealing with stress, PTSD, shock during and after an event, group dynamics during a crisis, especially for long-term events. This is one of those difficult questions because so many of the ways that we handle how we prepare our mind, how we set our mind for action are not going to just be in survival books. They're going to be in leadership books. And you really need to draw from a lot of different sources. You really need to have very tough conversations with yourself and with your family and your loved ones. You really need to think through what we call the first, second, third, and fourth order of effects. So for example, let's go back to that scenario in the White Mountains. You're carrying a firearm for safety. Let's say that you have to use that firearm. Okay, so you use your firearm. First order of effects, you kill your dangerous animal. Second order of effects, now you're probably going to have to surrender that firearm when fish and wildlife show up. Third order of effects, it's determined that that animal was, I don't know, not in season, and it's questionable if it was really in defense of life. Fourth order effects, you now are going to, you're now going to court. So I would say you really need to draw the mental health aspect from a lot of different practices, thinking through all of your actions, having a code that you live by. I would think you should follow people who think like you and have good discussions with them. So I don't see that in a lot of books because books are really meant for the largest common denominator. What are your suggestions for buying a used 4x4, being that a Carfax report cannot expose someone riding a vehicle too hard? I'm in the market for a 4Runner, just concerned on unnecessary wear. I would find a friend who is a mechanic and bring that mechanic with you before you sign over that check, you sign over that pink slip, whatever. I would bring someone with you who knows what to look for with wear on a vehicle. I would look for different signs that vehicle has been used hard, right? If someone says, well, I never take this thing off road, and you open up the hood of the car and you see mud everywhere, right? The outside of the car could be clean, but you see mud like up under the bottom of the hood or tucked away in corners. It's like, was that guy mudding with it and just had a really good car wash? Usually don't open the hood of the car when you drive through a car wash. So I would say bring a mechanic, find someone who's smarter than you and bring them with you. Okay. When do you know it's time to be humble and call for help? No injuries in a survival or backcountry situation? The answer to that one is, you know, when you know, what gets people into trouble is when they're like, well, I'm not lost. And they just deny that they could be lost. What gets people into trouble is ego. This can't happen to me. I'm, you know, a survival instructor. This can't happen to me. I'm a world-class hunter. What gets people in trouble is when they get an injury and they press on and they're focused on the injury instead of the trail. There are a lot of different reasons why people die in the great outdoors. You got to be humble. You got to swallow your pride. I mean, on one hand, you've got to say to yourself, like, yes, I can do this. I'm skilled. I'm trained. But know when enough is enough. And just know when you know. All right. Last question from Twitter here. If we had a large-scale power outage, would you attempt to bug out to a warmer climate or spend the summer converting your home in the north to a different heat source? Don't leave your home. Do not leave your home. If we had a large-scale power outage, you have all of your resources at your house. My only question whenever I hear people say, I'm going to bug out, it's like, where are you going? Do you think other people will go where you're planning on going? Can you ensure the safety of you and your loved ones en route? Do you have an alternate location to bug out to if your primary location is occupied? Do you have a return plan? Are you bugging out forever? Are you willing to walk away from the most expensive investment of your entire life? So my plan, if I ever had to bug out, or if there's ever a large-scale power outage, I'm hunkering down with my neighbors and we're building up the community and we are going to protect our own. All right. Let me just double check. I think we got through all of them. Yeah. Guys, that was all the questions for coffee and questions. We made it through about 50 in about 48 minutes. I've been doing this now for 12 different episodes of Coffee and Questions. I might take a break from the Coffee and Questions format for a while, but that being said, I'm always open to answering your questions. You guys will find out that, you know, even though some people don't like responding to messages in a timely manner, I always do. If you guys shoot me an email, estella@fieldcraftsurvival.com, or a message on Instagram, if it doesn't get caught in my spam filter or whatever, I'll message you back. Realize that my time's valuable. I've got to spend it podcasting and blogging and training and whatnot. So I don't always get a chance to do a long form response, but I'll give you a response. I'm going to encourage you guys to get out there and have your answers given to you, have your questions answered around the campfire, around like-minded people. There's so much that is out there that you can learn. Read good books, check out the videos online, go to our app, come to our courses, get into the pipeline. I think you guys are going to enjoy everything that you find. So with that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Field Craft Survival podcast. We did it. We got through a whole bunch of questions in 49 minutes. And if you guys are listening to this on your way home from work, go enjoy time with your family. Family is the most important thing ever. And hopefully we'll see you guys on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.